Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Vintage Voices, presented by the Theater Company of Sun City's Radio Players. Today's episode of Easy Aces, a classic comedy by Goodman Ace, is Jane Goes to a Psychiatrist. Joining Jim Rice and Judy Stage as Mr. and Mrs. Ace are Janet Graff as Margaret Norris, Marie Seeker as Jane's mother, Russ Howard as Dr. Montell, and Carol Finkel as his nurse. I'm Ed Dennis. The show is directed by Jan Dennis and edited and prepared for broadcast by Lauren Argall. Enjoy Jane Goes to a Psychiatrist.
Well, I tried to stop her, but Jane insisted she had to go to a psychiatrist. After a week of visits and with a little rest and care, I'm happy to announce that the psychiatrist will be out in a few months. Jane's interest in the couch started the other day when she met my boss's wife, Mrs. Norris, on the street, and they had a chat about psychoanalysis. Went something like this.
Well, Mrs. Ace, good morning.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Norris. Long face, no see.
Yes. Where are you going, my dear?
Just fine.
Well, how have you been?
Just up to the corner to match this material for a dress.
That's good.
I hardly recognized you, Mrs. Norris. It's that sweater you're wearing, I guess.
Oh, my sweater. Do you like it?
You look stunned.
My dear, I've never worn a sweater before I started going to my psychoanalyst. He told me my subconscious mind kept me from wearing it, and he made me get rid of my inhibitions. He did a good job on me, I can tell you that.
Oh, yes. He certainly fitted it well.
His name is Dr. Montell.
Doctor who?
Montell, M-O-N-T-E-L. He adjusts all your mental conflicts. It's done wonders for me, my dear. Every night I offer up thanks for Freud.
For who?
Freud, F-R-E-U-D. He's the man who founded psychoanalysis. Oh, what Dr. Montell could do for you, my dear. He'll tell you everything that's on your mind.
Well, all I have on my mind now is this material I want to get matched for a dress.
Oh, no. I mean for your subconscious mind. Things you don't even know are there yourself. For instance, look at me and Jonathan. He's as devoted a husband as you'll find anywhere. And still, in spite of all his devotion, it has left me, shall I say, apathetic?
All right.
Last week, for instance, he said to me, Margaret, he said, you're certainly looking well. It was then I realized I had to go see a psychoanalyst because my subconscious mind said to me, yes, he thinks you look well now, but how long will he think you look well? That's when I went to see Dr. Montell and what he's done for me. He told me what makes me tick. My dear, you simply must go to him at once.
First, I have to get this material matched for a dress.
Oh, I don't mean this minute. You'll have to make an appointment. He's so busy and so handsome. You can see what he's done for my mental conflicts.
Yes, you're so cheerful and so ravenous looking in that sweater. Maybe I will go.
Tell him I sent you. Do you remember the name?
Oh, sure. Mrs. Norris.
No, I mean the doctor's name, Dr. Montell.
Oh, yes, F-R-E-U-D.
All through dinner that evening, I noticed there was something on Jane's, if you'll pardon the four-letter word, mind. And after dinner, she sat there staring into space. So I sat there staring into space. We stared into each other's space. And finally she said,
Dear, how do I look to you?
Vapid.
Yes, but how long will I look that way?
Well, according to insurance statistics, your life expectancy is about...
No, you're getting off the subject. Do I look good to you? That's what I want to know. Now, come on. I want your candid opinion.
My candid opinion is that you look very sweet. Wonderful.
Oh, my. I've got it, too.
I beg your pardon. What have you got?
Mental conflicts. M-E-N-T-A-L.
Isn't that awful? What are you talking about?
I'm going to a psychoanalyst first thing in the morning.
To a psychoanalyst? Jane, You amaze me.
Not now, dear. Let me tell you why I decided to go to him. This morning I ran into Mrs. Norris.
Hard, I trust.
And she told me she's been going to him. And you should see what he's done for her. She's wearing a sweater.
She went to a psychiatrist so she could wear a...
She got rid of all her exhibitions.
Not in a sweater, she didn't.
And just now, when you said to me how wonderful I look, it left me, shall I say, apathetic.
Apathetic?
A-P-A-T...
Will you stop spelling at me? I know apathetic, and you're not going to a psychoanalyst.
He doesn't give you a medicine, you know.
I know.
I tell him what's on my mind, and he tells me what's on my mind.
Jane, he wouldn't have a target.
You don't understand, dear. When you told me just now I look wonderful and I felt, shall I say, apathetic, that means something.
It means you look wonderful.
Yes, but how long will you think I look wonderful?
How long?
See, even you're beginning to wonder.
No, I'm not. Jane, we have no money to throw away on foolishness like that. They're expensive.
Yes, but look what he does for you. He told Mrs. Norris all about herself. Told her what makes her thick.
And she is. Jane, if you go to this guy, you'll wind up in a straitjacket.
Well, if he fits it for me as well as he did her sweater.
He will. So the next morning, Jane got up bright and early and went to see the psychoanalyst. Correction. The next morning, Jane got up early and went to see the psychoanalyst. The doctor was ready for her with pencil and couch.
And you say Mrs. Norris sent you to see me?
Yes, she did, Dr. Montell.
Mrs. Norris. Oh, yes. She had a deep-seated neurosis. Why will people permit their neuroses to become so deep-seated? If they would only come to me earlier.
Well, you said 11:30, Dr. Montell.
Mrs. Ace, for your first visit, I'll take your case history. Are you comfortable on that couch?
Oh, this is fine. Thank you. I like your office. Everything Mrs. Norris told me about you is certainly true, Dr. Montell. She said you were handsome.
Really? Well, now
and I... May I return the compliment and say I think you're handsome, too?
Well, now, so much for the doctor. Let's get to the patient. Tell me about yourself, Mrs. Ace.
Well, I wouldn't say I'm handsome exactly, but my husband thinks I...
Let's not discuss your husband for our first visit. Let's stick to you. Tell me, how do you feel? Generally, I mean.
Well, physically, if you'll pardon the expression, I feel fine. But it's the mental conflicts that get me.
What mental conflicts?
Like when my husband said last night that I look wonderful, my unconscious said, how long will I look that way?
Aha.
Aha.
Something on the order of Mrs. Norris's anxiety neurosis. Well, I see I'll have to prescribe for you the same as I did for her.
Yes, I guess so. Except that I want a much smaller size than she does.
What?
What?
Mrs. Ace, tell me, how long have you had these thoughts when someone compliments you on your appearance?
Since I saw Mrs. Norris yesterday.
Oh, then I'm sure yours is a mild case, and I can cure you in this one visit.
But if I'm always going to say how long to myself...
You won't always say that. I'm sure you won't. Mrs. Ace, I think you are a very charming woman.
Well, thank you, Dr. Montell. I guess it's this new blouse I'm wearing.
There, you see... You accepted my flattery without a single thought to the contrary passing through your mind.
Yes, sir, I did.
You're cured, Mrs. Ace. It was a simple case. You don't need a psychoanalyst, but I'm glad you got here when you did. Most people wait until it's too late.
Well, I'm glad I got here at this psychopathic moment.
Yes, and there are too many more important cases in these troubled times. What did you say? When? You got here at what moment?
The psychopathic moment.
Psychopathic?
Yes. Well, goodbye, doctor. How much do I owe you?
No, just a moment. Lie back, please.
What happened?
Say that again. You got here when? Say it.
Dr. Montell, you're scaring me. You're getting my bearings balled up.
Getting your what?
Doctor, let me up. You're making a mountain out of Mohammed.
A mountain out of Mohammed?
Is something wrong?
Lie back, Mrs. Ace. You're a most interesting case.
I am, huh? I had a tuition there was going to be trouble in the offering.
Tuition? Offering? Yes, most interesting, Mrs. Ace. There's some force at work on your mind which telegraphs twisted and hastily visualized words to your tongue. What is that force? That's what I want to find out. In the interest of research, would you come to me for an hour every day and tell me the story of your life from as far back as you can remember? Just 1 hour every day? Will you come?
Sure, if you think I have to.
Yes, yes. Very interesting. Lie back, Mrs. Ace, and tell me the story of your life from as far back as you can remember.
Well, let me see. I'll start with my 5 years in high school.
4 years, Mrs. Ace.
Not me, Doctor.
That night, I refused to listen to anything Jane had to say about her visit to the psychoanalyst. But Jane found an interested audience in her mother, who is now living on us, with us. So when Jane mentioned having gone to a doctor, her mother looked up and quickly said,
"So the doctor said you've got psychoanalysis. It sounds exciting, Janie. Did he give you a prescription?"
"No, Mother. He's not like the doctors that give you medicine and take x-rays and put you in an oxidol tent."
"What kind of a doctor is that?"
"He's a psychoanalyst. He cures the mental conflicts, and he makes you happy."
"Well, if it makes you happy to be happy, be happy. Personally, any doctor who won't give you a medicine is a fraud."
"That's right. F-R-E-U-D. He tells me what's on my mind, and he can see right into my brain. Dear, now you stop that."
"I didn't say anything."
"Well, I don't like your attitude about this whole thing. Stay out of this."
"I don't like your spending money on psychoanalysis."
"Money? After all, what is money for if not to spend on doctors? I always say it's better to be well for one day than sick for 2 weeks."
"I'm not sick, Mother. Look, here's the whole thing in a nut house."
"Just tell me about the doctor, Janie. He sounds very interesting."
"A good question, Mother. And the answer is, he certainly is. And the handsomest you ever saw, with an office to match. Tall, dark brown hair."
"I've always wanted a tall office with dark brown hair."
"And when he smiles, oh boy."
"No teeth?"
"Dear, what did I tell you?"
You said stay out of it."
"Well, do it. Where was I?"
"The doctor, Janie. Does he have a regular doctor's office?"
"Oh, sure. Like every doctor's office. Young nurse, old magazines."
"So what did you talk to him about? Did you tell him where it hurts you?"
"Oh, no, Mother. I told him about what I did when I was in high school. It wasn't very interesting. He yawned a couple of times. But I can take a hint. So tomorrow, when I go, I'm going to make up a story to tell him."
"Make up a story?"
"Well, I'm certainly not going to sit there boring him for a full hour every day."
Well, this is Friday, the day Jane hurried down to the psychoanalyst's office to continue telling him the story of her life. Only she noticed he yawned through most of the story she told him yesterday, so today she has made up a lot of exciting things that didn't happen to hold his interest. This is the day which will set back psychoanalysis 25 years, one which became known in medical circles as Black Freud Day.
"That's it, Mrs. Ace. Just lie back and relax, and we'll take up where we left off yesterday. I hope we can do as well today as we did during our first hour. Yes, let's take it from after your high school graduation."
"Yes, well, sir, it was the summer I graduated, and we were driving home from a party. Sally Anderson and I and two fellows. The fellow I was with later became Mr. Ace, my husband. You see, Sally and I always double dated. We've been insufferable friends for years."
"Insufferable? Aha."
"Oh, yes. Always together like a couple of Simonized twins."
"Simonized. Yes, go on."
"Yes, sir. Well, one of the boys was driving. I was in the front with him. Sally was in back with the other one. And we were singing and laughing, shine on, shine on high. You know how school kids are, full face and fancy free.
Full face? Aha. Uh-huh.
Yes, you know, just out for a good time. Not wild or anything like that. Or would you prefer wild?
What's that?
No, I guess you wouldn't. Well, alongside our car came another car. And in that car was another boy I used to go with. And I leaned over to Sally in the front seat and I said, isn't that Roy? And she said...
Just a moment, Mrs. Ace. You said before you were in the front seat.
Did I? Well, she leaned over to me in the front seat and I said, isn't that Roy? Is that better?
Yes, I believe it is.
And Sally said, yes, I believe it is. Well, Roy was so mad I was out with Mr. Ace that he wasn't watching where he was driving, and he almost bumped into us. He looked kind of wild, almost besmirk, you might say.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Aha. Uh-huh. So Mr. Ace started to drive faster to get away from him, and pretty soon we were both going so fast that we were 12 miles from town, and we made it in 8 miles.
You made it in 8 miles?
8 miles if I'm a day. And then we heard the whistle of a train coming around the hill. Oh, I forgot to tell you there was a hill around the bend, and we had to cross the tracks. But there we were, going like bats out of a belfry.
Belfry, yes.
We couldn't hear the train whistle, woo, woo, and we were going, oh, oh. We all knew that if something didn't happen, this was the end. Well, goodbye, Doctor. I'll see you tomorrow.
Wait a minute. What happened?
My hour's up, Doctor. To be continued tomorrow.
Well, the story Jane made up sent Dr. Montell hurrying over to see his psychoanalyst. Jane rushed home to tell her mother and me what had happened on her second visit to the good doctor's office.
Well, he didn't yawn today. I told him a story about being in a car with you, and a train was coming around the hill, and it looked like it was going to hit the car, and then I stopped. Well, you could have knocked him over with a fender.
But, Janie, I don't understand. Didn't the doctor even examine you for bruises you might have gotten in the accident with the train?
Oh, no, Mother. You don't understand. He isn't that kind of doctor. He's a doctor for mental conflicts.
Mental conflicts? I never had those, Janie. Is it anything like dizzy spells?
Oh, no. Mental conflicts. It's for people who worry.
Worry? Who doesn't worry? Except my sister, your Aunt Wilma. She used to worry all the time. And then one day she decided to stop worrying, and overnight her hair turned brown.
Mother, maybe you better come with me to see Dr. Montell.
I lost track here. Jane, you're not going back there tomorrow.
Oh, I have to go back. I have to figure out a finish for that story and tell it to him. Wait a minute. Tomorrow? I can't go. I took some material to the dressmaker the other day. I have to go for a fitting. Dear?
What?
You'll have to go in my place.
You want me to go be psychoanalyzed in your place?
Unless you want to go in my place to the dressmaker for a fitting.
Yes, I will go, Jane. I want to visit that doctor. Maybe I can help him. The next morning, I went to see Dr. Montell. His office was just as Jane had described it. Tall, dark, brown. And I was greeted by a nurse in a short leather seat at a desk.
Good morning. May I help you?
I want to see Dr. Montell.
Do you have an appointment?
Yes, 11 o'clock.
What's the name?
Mrs. Ace.
Oh, yes, I have it in my book right here. Mrs. Ace?
Yes, Jane Ace.
Oh, to be sure. Well, the doctor will see you in a minute. Won't you have a chair, Mrs. Ace?
No, you don't understand. You see, oh, well, yes, thank you. I'll sit right here.
No, not here. Over there against the wall. That's it, Mrs. Ace. Just relax. The doctor will be with you in a moment. Don't be excited. Don't be nervous. Everything's going to be all right.
I'm not excited. I'm not nervous.
That's right. Just relax. The doctor will buzz when he's ready for you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, you're looking well, Mrs. Ace.
It's just this makeup.
Pancake?
No, thank you. I just had breakfast.
The doctor will see you in just a moment, Mrs. Ace. Would you like to look at this magazine?
Well, yes. I don't mind.
No, no. Don't get up. I'll slide it over to you across the floor.
Oh, thank you. Oh, the Ladies' Home Journal.
Yes, there are lovely new dress designs in this month's issue.
That reminds me. I wonder how I'm making out with that dress I'm having fitted over at the dressmaker's.
You're having a fitting at the dressmaker's later on, Mrs. Ace?
No, I'm over there being fitted now.
The doctor will see you in just a moment, Mrs. Ace.
Thank you. Yes, I have to go to the dressmaker for everything. I just simply can't find my size in ready-mades. Even hose. I have to have them made special.
Me too, Mrs. Ace. And the nylons they sell you these days. This morning I put on a brand new pair of nylons, and no sooner did I get here when I got a run all the way up to here.
Really? Up to where?
Look, Mrs. Ace, all the way up to... Oh, the doctor will see you right now, Mrs. Ace.
Now he sees me. This is psychoanalysis?
Go right in.
Thank you. It's been nice almost seeing you.
Remember me to Mr. Ace.
Come in, Mrs. Ace. Well, I'm happy to... Who are you?
I'm Mr. Ace.
Oh, you're the one who later became Mr. Ace.
What goes on here? Yes, I'm Mr. Ace. She couldn't make it today.
Oh, no. I was hoping she would come. I've been on pins and cushions since she left here. I've been going besmirk.
Besmirk?
I've been trying to write a paper on her history, but my bearings are all balled up.
Oh, brother.
Even my wife can't understand what's happened to me, and we've been inseparable companions for years.
Murder.
I've always been so full-faced and fancy-free.
Look, Doctor, I don't want my wife coming here anymore. Will you please tell her...
Not come here anymore. She built up the story up to the psychopathic moment, and then she walked out. She's got to tell me what happened. You were in the car. You can tell me. You were speeding along in your car. Vroom! The train was coming around the hill. Woo-woo! You couldn't stop. The train couldn't stop. What happened?
We were killed.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Ace. Thank goodness. You took a load off my... You were killed?
Look, Doctor.
Interesting case. Lie down, Mr. Ace.
Me?
Very interesting. Now I want you to tell me the story of your life from as far back as you can remember.
Well, I was born in a Wild West show at the age of 3.
Aha! Uh-huh.
The doctor will never forget that hour, if he lives to be 12 years old. I fixed his wagon because the very next day in his office...
That's right. Just lie back comfortably and relax. Now, I want you to continue the story from where we left off.
Well, after I got out of the Wild West show, I decided to become an Indian. Dear, please.
Well, move over, Jane.
Off the couch.
I gotta have some room.
Move up a little. The palms of your feet are hanging over the end of the couch.
You push over a little.
I can't. There's no room.
Well, somebody's gotta move.
All right, children. If it makes you happy for me to move, I'll move.
Thank you for listening to today's play featuring the Theater Company of Sun City's Radio Players. Tickets for The Wizard of Oz, a musical to be performed on November 17th through 20th, 2016, in Sun City's Drendel Hall, will be available starting October 10th. For further information, call 847-515-8545. That's 847-515-8545.
Day I'll wish upon on a star and wake up where the clouds are far behind me. Where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops, that's where you fly beyond the